Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. Laura, I am so grateful that there's going to be a football game on Sunday.
Me too. I'm although I liked the bye week, I mean, it's nice to have a little...
I hated the bye week.
You didn't do anything during
Well,
bye
I really
week?
Didn't do much of anything, but just...
That's nice, week, right? That's nice.
I guess, except for just a week where... There's nothing really new to talk about for the 49ers. And the last three things we've talked about, I'm starting to feel kind of worried about the people who listen to 49ers Talk, because I assume they're all 49er fans and they haven't heard us talk about a 49ers victory in a while. Like, it'll be 5 weeks on Sunday since the 49ers experienced a victory. And I'm starting to worry about the faithful a little bit.
Now that I understand, the three straight losses were tough backing into a bye week. Now you come out in week 7, the 49ers have Sunday night football. That I'm excited about. Although, who knew it rained in California? I heard the raindrops on my roof yesterday and I was like, what is this? Is someone on my roof?
You no, think there's like rain. some sort of invasion or something?
I mean, no. And I was like, oh, it transported me back home to Alabama, where I was like, this is a storm. Well, it's not even, I wouldn't consider it a rainstorm here, right. But it was refreshing to hear rain out in California.
I had to pull over and like grab the owner's manual of my car to find out where the windshield wipers are, like how do you turn these things on?
Yeah.
As I remember using these in my distant past, but anyway, hey, we got a great show because you and I sat down. I guess we sat down. We did it over Zoom. Yeah, we were all sitting. We weren't standing.
We sat down. Yeah, we were all sitting down.
We talked to Tony Dungy, and then you talked to the GOAT himself, Mr. Jerry Rice.
Yeah, these are obviously two incredibly talented and just two of the people. When you think of the NFL, that you just want to get their opinion. I loved sitting down with Jerry Rice. I'm always so interested to hear what he thinks about the current state of the 49ers. And Tony Dungy is just a wealth of knowledge. So it was really fun. This has been a fun week, despite it being the bye week and not having a lot of wins to talk about. This was really fun getting Jerry Rice and Tony Dungy.
Yeah, you know, and it was the bye week, Sunday. We talked about that on our last podcast, and it did give me an opportunity to watch games that I don't ordinarily watch or teams I don't ordinarily watch. And then I did this thing, Pro Football Focus. You know, they grade every game. And so, you know, people ask me, you know, who's the best? You know, is this guy in the 49ers the best in the league, or is this guy in the 49ers the worst in the league? And it's really difficult to have that kind of perspective. So what I like to do on occasion is go on to Pro Football Focus and ask, you know, kind of search and see what these objective measures are. And one of the guys that a good friend of mine, his name's Jeff Deeney, and he works there at Pro Football Focus, and he's the 49ers team correspondent. He's an analyst. So what I wanted to do is go through kind of the high and the low, you know, see where the 49ers rank very highly among other NFL teams and also where they rank low among other NFL teams. And so what was interesting is I know people like to bash the 49ers offensive line, but the 49ers offensive line, according to these numbers, is not bad at all. In fact, they're the number 5 ranked run blocking offensive line and the number 7th ranked pass blocking offensive line. And so that's, you know, that's all the run blockers, that's all the pass blockers. So that also takes into consideration, you know, blitz pickup and all that, or the tight ends blocking. But that was interesting to me. And also an area where I think there's a lot of concern with the 49ers is their pass coverage on defense. And yet the 49ers pass coverage ranks 10th in the NFL. Conversely, what we thought would be a strength of theirs, the pass rush, it ranks 22nd in the NFL. And when you think about it, and as Jeff Dini kind of walked me through this, you know, you have Bosa and Armstead who are doing very well pass rushing, but other than the occasional D Ford, the 49ers aren't getting much help there. So, you know, some of the areas that, you know, in my mind, and we talked about a little bit about this with Tony Dungy later, is that the 49ers coverage, you know, their cornerbacks, they're banged up. They don't have Jason Verrett, but things could be a lot worse. And I think a lot of other teams in the NFL are worse than the 49ers when it simply comes to pass coverage.
When I hear that, it is confusing because you say, okay, well, where's the offense been then? If the blocking is so good, why is it not going? Is it that they're down to their 347th running back? You know, what is the purpose? What is the purpose for the lack of offense? Did he offer any kind of indication as to what that might be?
Yeah, I mean, the run blocking ranks 5th, but the running game ranks 21st. So in their estimations, the running backs aren't doing the job. And then with the good pass blocking the 49ers have generally had, their passing game ranks 28th. And so that's the quarterbacks in their grades. And then the receiving ranks 19th, which you kind of figure it would be because other than Debo Samuel, you know, there hasn't been much production there and there have been a lot of drop passes. Wow. So yeah, all the drops. So all that said, the 49ers are 2-3 coming off the bye. They've won their last two games coming off the bye. Kyle Shanahan, the coaching staff, got away. Kyle Shanahan went to Denver, saw his dad get inducted into the Broncos Ring of Honor there, 2-time Super Bowl winning coach Mike Shanahan. So I asked him about, you know, what were the assignments? What did you guys do? And of course he, aside from getting away and enjoying some family time, he said that every coach had kind of an area to go into it, self-scout, whether it's, you know, down and distance situations, red zone, whatever the case may be. Ultimately, what it comes down to is, and we've heard several players say this, Trent Williams said it on Monday, Fred Warner said it on Wednesday, the 49ers feel like they have the players in the building. They just have to execute better. And in the case of the offense, it might be something different every play. Plays that aren't successful for the 49ers, it's not a constant theme. It's not a, you know, it's always this, it's always that. It's almost, regularly, it's something different every play that's keeping the 49ers offense from succeeding. And you'd probably say the same thing about the defense too.
A lot to unpack here. First off, it sounds like you're in a washing machine. Matt Maiocco, if you're just listening and not watching on YouTube, he is not in a washing machine. He is at Levi's Stadium in a public location where carts sound like they are going by, not a washing machine. On top of that, you know, one thing that I learned just as you're talking there and hearing the numbers and thinking about the lack of offense and what's been the problem, be careful where you point your fingers. Things aren't always as they appear, because it might appear that the offensive line is struggling, but the numbers don't say that, according to Pro Football Focus. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, the numbers say that the coverage is ranks 10th in all of the NFL. So I think you just have to be careful. And it's easy for us to kind of, we visually go by what we see. That's human nature. That's logic in our brains. But looking back at a game, and obviously immediately following a game, you have instant reaction. You don't have all these numbers to stack up against other teams. But let's just pause, and everybody needs to look at the numbers and figure out what's actually going on, and also realize that the 49ers have injuries. And I hate to sit here and say it, but they do. I mean, you don't have your number one running back. You don't have your number two running back. You don't have key players. You don't have George Kittle. You have two injured quarterbacks. Hopefully Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, fine for this week. That's the expected outcome for Sunday, at least, is that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the 49ers starting quarterback. Trey Lance still working through his knee sprain. But there's just a lot going on with the team. The frustration comes in with the three losses in a row. And when you go back to the beginning of the season, the expectations, it almost feels like a 2020 all over again, but not as many. You don't have the injuries to blame. Now, there are injuries to blame, but not the rash of injuries to blame. So it's, I think that's where the confusion is coming in, is you have these high expectations yet again. I don't think they were as high as they were in coming into the 2020 season, but they were certainly higher than being 2-3 heading into the bye week.
Yeah, they have had injuries, but I do think that they have enough players here that they shouldn't ever lose three games in a row. I think this is a good enough team.
And I agree.
I think this is a good enough team that they shouldn't win, or they shouldn't lose that many games in a row. I don't think the injuries are an excuse this season at all. Obviously they're a better team when George Kittle is out there. He's going to miss three games. They're hoping to have him back, but all the other injuries, you know, either the Jason Verrett, Raheem Mostert injuries, those are guys who are out for the season. And I think they have enough players here to compensate for those losses so that, you know, when we're looking back on the 2021 season, I don't think we're going to say, wow, you know, they could have won the Super Bowl, or they could have done this, or they could have done that if those guys had been healthy. Sure, they'd be a better team with those players, but every team in the league has injuries. And as you mentioned, Laura, look for Jimmy Garoppolo to be back in the 49ers starting lineup Sunday night against the Colts. He's coming along pretty well with that calf injury. He feels like he can be close to 100% by kickoff. Both Jimmy and Trey Lance stayed in Santa Clara during the bye week. They rehabbed their respective injuries, Jimmy with the calf, Trey Lance with the knee. It doesn't look as positive for Trey Lance. It looks like he's not going to be available for this game. At least that's the expectation. So that means that Nate Sudfeld would be the backup quarterback to Jimmy Garoppolo, just like Nate Sudfeld was the backup quarterback 2 weeks ago with Trey Lance. So that's where we are. And this is a big one. The 49ers are 2-3. They can't afford to fall another game back. The Colts are kind of desperate too. They're a team that came into this season with playoff aspirations and thought maybe they could make a run at the AFC. We'll see about that. But we're going to come back after this word from Big O Tires, and Tony Dungy of NBC's Football Night in America will help us break it down and make sense of all this madness.
Now through October 31st at participating Big O Tires, save $100 instantly on sets of four Big O brand tires with paid installation. Plus, save an additional $50 when using your Big O credit card. See your locally owned Big O Tire store for offer details.
All right, we're joined now on 49ers Talk by Tony Dungy, Pro Football Hall of Fame member and analyst for NBC's Football Night in America. Tony, you just saw the 49ers a few weeks back. Give us kind of the thumbnail. Where do you think that team is right now compared to when you saw them a couple weeks ago?
Well, hopefully they're in a better spot. When I saw them, it didn't look like the 49er team I'm used to seeing, because I don't think they had confidence in their run game. I think they're down to maybe their fourth or even fifth running back. And to me, that's what 49er football is all about: establishing that line of scrimmage, pounding people, making you defend that, and then everything else. Their play-action passes, their energy on defense, everything comes off that. And I think they've got to get back to that, and I believe they will.
With that, it seems there's been a lot – well, it doesn't seem. There has been a lot of chat in the Bay Area about the 49ers' identity, and you just spoke about it, and that really has been their identity. That's what fans, you know, expect. That's really what the offense – how the offense ticks and how it runs. Do you feel like the 49ers – are suffering a little bit with who they are this season?
I do. And I think part of it is the running back injuries. And the other part is drafting a young quarterback and then having everybody try to figure out, well, who is this team? Who are we? Is Jimmy Garoppolo our starter? Are we doing the same things we always have? Or are we now going to build this for Trey Lance? And are we going to have a different type of running game? And it's going to be zone reads and read options and bootlegs off that. I think Trey Lance can run this offense the way they need it run, if necessary. I hope Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy and back ready to go. I think that will help them too. But to me, it's that kind of zone running scheme, pounding it, getting those 7 and 8 yard gains, making people defend that, and then everything else that comes off that. So I think, yes, it's got to be, let's get back to that. Let's figure out who our quarterback's going to be. But more than that, let's play 49er football.
You've seen so many teams be successful in a lot of different scenarios. Do you think a team has to have their identity to be able to be successful, has to really know who they are?
You do, unless you're just, you know, superbly talented and great. And the New England Patriots come to mind. They could kind of morph and change. Hey, we're going to be a 3-4 team this week, and next week we'll be a 4-3 team. And we're going to be three tight ends and run the ball because we think you're weak there. And then the next week we'll be five wide receivers. Well, that's what they did, but their identity was kind of like, hey, we're a smart team and we adapt to the situation. We're kind of an amoeba. But I think most teams really have an identity, and you have to really work to not get that taken away. And I think that's where the 49ers are now. It's just let's get back to who we are, to what we do well, and make people play us, make them beat us.
When I look at this quarterback situation, you know, it's pretty clear that Kyle Shanahan thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy that gives them the best chance of winning right now. But, you know, as long as you have a number three overall pick and a guy who's as physically talented as Trey Lance, it just seems like there's no right answer unless you're winning every game. So as a former head coach, Tony, how tough of a spot is that for Kyle Shanahan to walk that tightrope on what to do at that position?
It's a tough spot, but I think the answer is, hey guys, we don't know who's going to play quarterback. That shouldn't matter to us. We're going to do the same things. Whoever is the engineer of this train is going to take us in the same way. And you're always going to have people, well, we think Trey should be in, we think Jimmy should be in. But if everybody's on board, it doesn't matter who's in there. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to be the same thing. I think they'll be okay.
So, I mean, clearly Kyle doesn't believe that Trey Lance is ready quite yet, which is completely understandable. He's a rookie. He didn't play much football at all his final year at North Dakota State. And he doesn't want to say that publicly, right? Because you don't want the kid to feel like, you know, he's facing an uphill climb if there are games where he has to get in there. So how will Kyle Shanahan know that Trey Lance is ready to step onto the field and help the 49ers win games when all he's doing during the week is practicing and maybe getting in for a snap here and there behind Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, that's the thing, and that's what's so difficult when you draft these quarterbacks that high. You know, the starting quarterback gets 80 to 90% of the snaps in practice, depending on what team you're with. The backup quarterback gets 10 to 15%. And so how do you develop that guy? How do you keep his confidence? How do you get him improving when he's only getting very limited snaps? And that's what all of these guys are going through. Chicago went through it with Justin Fields. And once he started through injury, became the starter, and he got more time, he started playing better and better. Mac Jones, they made a decision very early on. Okay, we're going to cut the cord with Cam Newton. Mac Jones is going to play. He got the benefit of being the guy and having that practice time. But if you're Kyle Shanahan and you really believe Jimmy Garoppolo gives you the best chance to win, you have to do that. You owe it to your team to put the person out there that gives you the best chance to win right now. That's no knock on Trey Lance.
Yeah, and as I see it, like the situations you cited, you know, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, even the Houston situation with Davis Mills, and of course the two top picks. I mean, this situation is different because the 49ers are set up to win right now. And so
absolutely. We have to remember that. This is not a journeyman quarterback that we're replacing or eventually going to replace. Jimmy Garoppolo took this team to the Super Bowl a couple of plays from winning the Super Bowl. They know they can win with him. This, to me, is more like Patrick Mahomes going to Kansas City and sitting behind Alex Smith for a year, or Aaron Rodgers going to Green Bay and sitting behind Brett Favre. Those guys are going to be great quarterbacks, and they're going to develop. It's going to take them a little bit longer, but they're going to be fine. But when you have a quarterback that you know can take you to the playoffs and win, you can't just say, oh, well, you know, we're going to put the rookie in because he needs to play. You still have to play who gives you the best chance to win right now.
So I don't want to harp on the quarterback situation for too long, but if you can't tell, that's all people in the Bay Area are talking about.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I mean, it's just every day, all week. I mean, yeah, it's understandable. From your observations of Trey Lance, we got to see him for a full game. What do you think about him? Do you think he'll be able to be successful in Kyle Shanahan's system? What were your thoughts?
I think he's going to be fine, but it's way too early to make a decision on Trey Lance. I remember on our show 3 weeks ago, Justin Fields came in and maybe completed two or three passes, and everybody said, oh, see, that's why he's not playing and he's not good enough and all of that. Well, the problem is in training, if you're the backup, you aren't getting the practice time. You aren't throwing with the number one receivers. Now we put you out there and it's easy to say, oh, yeah, he's not that good yet. He needs some time to be with those number one players, get a rhythm and grow before we make a decision. That may be down the road. We may not know exactly what Trey Lance can do for another year, and that's okay. The coaches know. I remember I was coaching in Tampa at the time, but Denny Green in 1999 drafted Dante Culpepper. He didn't play one snap during the year. Denny had him on the scout team the whole time. Denny coached the scout team. And at the end of that year, he had Randall Cunningham, Jeff George, and Brad Johnson. He said, we'll get rid of all of them. Dante's going to be ready. He's going to be fine. And the next year, Dante Culpepper took the league by storm. So it's really about practice time. It's developing those skills. And we're so quick to make snap judgments. We just can't do that. They drafted Trey Lance for a reason. He's going to fit this offense. He's going to be fine. It may not be this week. May not be 4 weeks from now, but down the road, he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, we do live in such an environment and culture right now where everybody is all about like immediate results, immediate reaction. What is it right now? And sometimes these things just take time, and the development of these players takes time. What about big picture for the Niners? They're 2-3. The expectations were really high coming into this season, as they were in 2020, but they dealt with the rash of injuries in 2020, have had some significant injuries this year, but nothing compared to 2020. What is the outlook for the Niners? You know, they're coming off a bye, three straight losses. You know, will they get back on the horse?
I think they can get back. I think these next couple of weeks are critical because they've had some time to make adjustments now and define who they really are. They've got to get healthy. There's no doubt about that. I go back to our Super Bowl year when I was in Indianapolis, and we had maybe a five-game stretch where we didn't play very good football because we had a lot of people hurt on defense. And my message to the team was, we aren't changing anything. We're not signing new people. We've got to hold the fort down until everybody gets back. And we've just got to continue to play Colts football. Well, 8 weeks later, we were hoisting the Super Bowl trophy. And I think San Francisco can be that. Yeah, they've got to get some people back. It's hard to play without George Kittle. He's such a critical part of things. It's hard to play without your top three running backs. But if they can weather this storm, get Jimmy Garoppolo back in there, get that rhythm going offensively, they can reel off four or five in a row and be right back in this.
Tony, probably the most difficult decision this organization has made since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan came to the 49ers in 2017 was after the Super Bowl year, like a month or so after the Super Bowl, where they decided to trade DeForest Buckner. And, you know, those of us around the team, I mean, DeForest Buckner and obviously on the outside too, you can see he brings everything, you know, great player, always healthy, great off the field, just the almost like kind of the perfect player. How difficult is that? I mean, I disagreed with it at the time, and I still disagree with it. It turned out, I think, you know, they got a good draft pick out of it. They got Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk basically out of that. But tell me about the thought process where you have a guy that brings everything to the table and how difficult it is to get rid of him. And you know how it turns out, at least here we are, year and a half in. What do you think about that decision they made?
Well, I'll say this. I have ties in Indianapolis, and they are thrilled to have DeForest Buckner. So from their standpoint, it was really great. I'm not one for ever giving away great defensive linemen. I think they're just so hard to come by. In San Francisco, that was a lot of their strength that year, just rolling in seven or eight really, really effective defensive linemen. So I hated to see that rotation get disturbed. I knew DeForest as a freshman at University of Oregon. He was over at our house. My son was a receiver there. So I knew the type of person he is. All of those things say, no, you gotta hold on to him. But there still is salary cap issues and how we do things. Again, I'll go back to a story from my time in Indy. After the 2005 season, we've got a great offense. Edgerrin James is a Hall of Fame running back. His contract is up. And Bill Polian came to me and said, you know what? We can re-sign Edgerrin. It's going to be $8 or $9 million. We can do that. We'll be effective. We'll win. But I promise you, we'll lose Reggie Wayne and Dwight Freeney and Dallas Clark down the road. Or we can let Edgerrin go, as painful as it's going to be. And we'll draft the running back, we'll re-sign all those guys, and we'll be good for 4 or 5 years. That's what a general manager has to look at. We made that decision. We drafted Joseph Addai. Was he as good as Edgerrin James? No, but we were able to do all those other things. So sometimes the total picture forces you to do some things. But with that being said, short answer to your question, I hate to give up great defensive line.
You know, the 49ers, their cornerback situation, you know, losing Jason Verrett week one hurt, because he was when he's healthy, he's shut down. He's really good. But I don't think, see if you agree or disagree with me here, I don't think their situation at cornerback is all that, you know, it's not a glaring weakness like I thought it might be. They're still getting fairly good production. And I don't see the cornerback situation right now being the part of the team that keeps them from going where they want to go. Can you kind of address that with your eyes for defensive backs, of what you see from that defensive backfield right now as the 49ers have it?
I would agree with you on that. As I look back to their Super Bowl formula and the foundation of that team, dominant run game, complementary play action pass game off that, dominant front seven, stop the run, pressure the passer, guys who hustle and play hard and were smart and aggressive in the secondary. I think that's what they've got to get back to. That front seven has to get back to the waves of people that they had, the domination up front, running game, time of possession, all those things. The secondary will do their job. And will they be as good with some of the injuries? No, but they can be very, very good. They can do just fine. That front has to get back to what it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's got to frighten opposing offenses.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Frighten's a great word.
We're coming up on Halloween. Scare them a little bit. It's so interesting to hear from you about this, because you've sat in the head coaching shoes. Very few people have done that. Kyle Shanahan recently has started to come under some criticism. You know, him and John Lynch brought in 2017. The first couple of years, understandable why you have losing seasons. Then they go to the Super Bowl, all's looking bright. Then they have the 2020 season, injuries galore. But all in all, they've had one winning season since they've taken over. And so I think fans are starting to build on the frustration, although there are some excuses, if you will, things you could point to. Is it fair for the criticism now to kind of start to come in? And then some people also questioning some of Kyle Shanahan's play calling, wondering if he's putting his players in the best positions. Where do you stand with all that?
Well, it's not fair. The criticism is not fair. It's hard when you're a running team and you lose your four top runners. Now it's hard to criticize the coach at that point. They're going to be fine. Kyle Shanahan is still the same coach he was 3 years ago. What they have to do is get back to their personality, and I think they will do that. But we're so critical of things. We want that automatic, constant success, and that's not the way that this league works. But I think what people should judge is, are they, as Denny Green would say, are they who we thought they are? If they are and they're doing that and sticking to it, Coach Chuck Noll told me a long time ago, stubbornness is a virtue if you're right. If you can stick to your guns and just create that mindset that we're going to be the 49ers no matter what, that's what I'd like to see them do.
Tony Dungy, such a pleasure to have the chance to talk to you. Your insight is much appreciated, and always learn something. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Great being with you.
Thank you, Tony. All right, we're back on 49ers Talk. And it's always interesting to hear Tony Dungy's perspective. And you know, from the moment the 49ers made that trade to send DeForest Buckner to Indianapolis, it was going to be second guessed. And heck, even on Wednesday, Kyle Shanahan talked about how much he misses DeForest Buckner, and that they were not devaluing DeForest Buckner, but the decision was made as a franchise that they pretty much had to trade him in order for him to get the kind of money that he deserved and for the 49ers to be able to, you know, get that draft pick, which they turned into Javon Kinlaw and also Brandon Ayuk, and also, you know, be able to pay some of their other players. You know, they re-signed, obviously, Eric Armstead during that time. They re-signed George Kittle a few months later. And then this season, right before training camp, they re-signed Fred Warner.
Tony Dungy's perspective on that is fascinating to me. I think his emphasis on the fact that he always would hold on to great defensive linemen was a great perspective. It does make you look back, and that, as you said, it's been second guessed ever since the trade happened. And I'm sure no one was more surprised than DeForest Buckner, probably everybody in the 49ers locker room. And it's still TBD to see how it all plays out. Javon Kinlaw hasn't had enough time in the NFL to really prove. He was never the replacement for DeForest Buckner. I think it was a collective replacement. What kind of value can you get? And he was part of that value. But he's still TBD. But that is the big storyline this week. And it's just crazy. I mean, I love Tony Dungy. He's so realistic. He's so honest, but his opinion holds weight. I loved what Tony Dungy had to say about the 49ers identity. That's also something I talked with Jerry Rice about. We'll hear from that interview in just a little bit.
And that does lead us, Laura, to our Driving to the Red Zone Toyota fan poll. All things considered, did the 49ers make the right call in trading DeForest Buckner? So, all things considered, everybody wants DeForest Buckner on their team, but obviously there was a give and take there. So you can answer that question on Twitter at NBCS49ers. And DeForest, you know, talked about this on Wednesday. He got on a conference call with the 49ers beat reporters, and he said that, you know, his agent was telling him what his worth was, but you know, he wanted to meet the 49ers somewhere in the middle because he wanted to stay with the team. But he didn't want to take too big of a pay cut. And so, you know, that's kind of how it was working. Both sides were kind of figuring out how to go about this. And it really never got too far, it sounded like, as far as the negotiation went, because the 49ers just felt like it wasn't in their best interest to pay him the kind of money that he deserved. So they sent him to Indianapolis. And the thing that kind of makes this, you know, that's made this worse for the 49ers is Javon Kinlaw's physical condition.
Yep.
He got injured late last season. He had surgery shortly after the season on his knee. It didn't respond well. He had a follow-up procedure. And so now you have this young guy who came to the team very raw, but the 49ers felt like he had all kinds of upside. He hasn't been able to practice much at all. And so he hasn't been able to get better. And you know, so the 49ers don't feel like they've gotten the real Javon Kinlaw because, you know, he hasn't gotten to that point where he can step in and just take over for DeForest Buckner and be a three down player. So, you know, 49ers are holding out hope that at some point they will see what Javon Kinlaw really has to offer. And then Brandon Ayuk, who they picked up as part of that trade too, enabled them to trade up to get him after a great rookie season. You know, he hasn't produced so far through five games, so that's something to keep an eye on. And believe me, we've talked enough about Brandon Ayuk, so we don't need to talk about that anymore. 49ers Talk is brought to you by FitAid. FitAid fuels your body with complete sports recovery using the power of targeted supplements and vitamins. Train hard, recover fast.
So there's something that happened off camera. One of the things I love about having these discussions is what you guys don't see. And when we wrapped up our discussion and interview with Tony Dungy, we were just chatting offline about the game, and he had so many great things to say. We were like, wait, we gotta
stop. Don't let me hit record again.
Just let me record this. And so here is what that conversation was. We asked him to stop so that we could record it again. Good job, Matt, on getting the record button going. Here's what Tony Dungy had to say after our interview wrapped. Take a listen.
Yeah, I do really think this is a pivotal game for the Indianapolis Colts and the San Francisco 49ers. Two teams that are kind of searching for that identity. They've got some pieces in place. They've had some injuries. Indianapolis last week got T.Y. Hilton back, and that brought their deep passing game back, and that energized the whole team. Now can they build on that and get a second straight win? San Francisco had some time off, get some of those injuries healed, maybe get a couple of their backs back, get Jimmy Garoppolo back. Now can they be who they are on offense, reestablish that? One of these teams, I think, is going to leave Sunday night saying, hey, we got it. We found it. Look out for us. The other team is going to say, I'm not so sure where we are. So I think this is a critical game. I'm looking forward to watching it.
So he's absolutely right. I mean, this is a huge game for both teams. And, you know, the 49ers are at a crossroads. And Tony Dungy, who, you know, he has ties to both of these teams. You know, he's very close with John Lynch. He's obviously very close with the Indianapolis Colts organization as a Super Bowl winning coach there. So he sees this as a pivotal game for both of these teams.
Yeah, he does, and it is. I mean, it is. When you just look at it, it is a very pivotal point in the season for both the Colts and the 49ers. And I loved what he said. You know, whoever wins this game can really take it and run with it. And whoever loses this game, whichever team loses this game, starts to potentially question themselves and not necessarily fall off the map, but it could easily go in that direction. I also want to get to Jerry Rice. So I had the chance to sit down with Jerry Rice and discuss a whole number of things. So let's hear from Jerry Rice right now.
Why don't we listen to it after the break, Laura?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we gotta pay the bills around here. Let's listen to it after the break.
Pumpkin spiced deodorant? Looks like October's here, and so is Toyota's $1 tire sale. Gear up for winter rain with a fresh set of tires from Toyota. All month long, when you buy three new tires at your local Toyota dealer, you'll get the fourth for only a dollar. That's right, buy three tires and get the fourth for a dollar. Don't miss out on this October deal, and we promise to not make pumpkin spice tires a thing. Toyota, let's go places. Restrictions apply. Toyota and Scion vehicles only. See participating Toyota dealers for details. Offer ends 11/1/21.
Jerry Rice joining me now on 49ers Talk. Thanks so much for taking the time. We've got just a whole load of stuff to talk about. I want to start big picture with the 49ers right now, Jerry. 2-3 on the season. We all know what the expectations were coming into the year. What are your thoughts on how this team has performed so far? And then also looking ahead to the rest of the season after this bye week, what do you think the expectations are now?
Well, I think the expectations are still high. And, you know, we lost the last three games, but I felt like we had opportunity to win those football games. So it's going to be up to those players to basically take over the team and say, hey, look, we have to win. You know, we have to win by committee. We have to go out. We have to execute the game plan and you know, get a win. A win can cure so much. It's amazing because it's like once you get that one, you know, win under your belt after, you know, losing three football games, that could be the one game that turn your entire season around. So I feel like there's still a lot of fight in the Niners. It's early during the season, you know, with Jimmy G going down, then also Trey being thrown in. It's going to take a second before all of this comes together.
Yeah, since you brought up Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, I know you've been asked this a million times, but we haven't had the chance to discuss it here on 49ers Talk. So you were obviously there for the transition between Steve Young and Joe Montana. What was that like behind the scenes, both in the front office and then also within the locker room? Was it difficult? How did that play out for not, you know, we all saw the forward-facing product, but what did it look like behind the scenes?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to really compare the two because, you know, because Joe, he was at the top of his game. Then as Joe got older, and this happened to me too, you know, the team wants to go in a different direction. So here's Steve Young. We could tell there was a, you know, something going on, but as players, you still try to stay focused and just pay attention to detail and do what you have to do from your position. So I'm sure the players know what's happening with Jimmy G and also Trey Lance. Now, can this work by committee with both, you know, going back and forth with quarterbacks? It happens. You see it all the time in college. I'm one of those guys. I always felt like you needed to know exactly who that guy is.
Yeah.
And that you had to build around that guy, and you had to do whatever you had to do to make that individual, you know, perform at his best on the football field. Now, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he feels like he can go back and forth, and he's the coach of the team. But I always wanted to know exactly who was going to be behind center.
Yeah. And to your point, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance have such differing styles. I mean, it's a completely different offense, really, when you put Jimmy Garoppolo in there as opposed to Trey Lance, who's able to, you know, make some plays with his legs. And we saw a lot of holding calls on the offensive line. I think the whole cohesiveness, it's difficult when you're going back and forth. With Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan brought it in 2017. They've had a rough go. They had a really good season in 2019, make it all the way to the Super Bowl. And that was kind of the saving grace. That was what this whole thing was building towards. And now it's almost like they're back to square one. It seems that people are getting a little frustrated, especially after the week five loss. You saw a lot of people kind of questioning Kyle Shanahan's play calling and some of those things. Do you think that that's fair? Where do you stand with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and everything that, you know, so many losing seasons outside of 2019?
You know, we got to take this under consideration because this team went to the Super Bowl, but then it's like you come back and the expectations are so much higher, and you have to be willing to take the criticism along with the, you know, with everybody giving you compliments. That's just part of the game. And you're going to have some fans feel like, you know, like with Kyle Shanahan, that he's not making the right calls. You know, the offense is too predictable. But I think the thing is, until those players take over the team, get their identity and stuff like that, they're going to struggle. The players got to step and say, hey, look, you know, we have to go out. We have to win football games. The coaches, they can put together a game plan. And some of the calls that sometimes Bill Walsh called, we didn't agree with. But we knew we had to make those plays work. So, you know, as professional players, that's just part of what you signed up for. So, you know, I don't put the blame just on Kyle Shanahan. I think everybody got to look at each other. And you got to challenge each other and say, hey, look, we got to do whatever we have to do to win football games. And if a coach sent a play in that we don't like, we still got to make that play work no matter what. And if they get to that mindset, I feel like they have a legitimate chance.
I want to talk about the 49ers identity because that's something that's been discussed a lot as they head into week seven. But before we do that, I want to talk about what you're doing with Quaker. Tell us about the Quaker Good Call Challenge and about what you're working with Quaker.
You know, this is really the giving season. And, you know, with Quaker, they're donating $125,000 to just Feeding America. And, you know, I didn't know this until I became part of this, that 38 million people in America will face hunger. And the good call, you know, the Quaker Good Call Challenge is all about, if anybody, say this, we have a lot of change, stuff like that, underneath the couch, whatever, you know, grab a canister or something like that, a Quaker oak canister, and just put that change in there. Then you can go to a Coinstar and make a donation and help feed America. That's really what this is all about, man. I'm glad to be part of it, along with Drew Brees, Jerome Bettis. We had a great time, you know, filming this, and it's just all about giving back.
Yeah, and if you do that on Instagram or on social media, use the hashtag Quaker Good Call. I know I've got a Quaker can in my pantry too, so I know I'll be Maybe I can jump in on the challenge too. Thanks for sharing. And also that.
The challenge is going to be around till December 31st.
So people got time.
But people got time.
Got time.
And it's all about, you know, it's all about just giving back. And I feel like everyone should have a healthy meal. No one should be hungry. And I think that's the reason why we teamed up with this program.
Yeah, I know a lot of our listeners, great people, and I know that you can jump in on that challenge. I do. We've only got another minute or two with you. What about the identity of the 49ers? That's something that's been discussed a lot, especially the past 2 weeks. It seems like right now that they've kind of lost their identity. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like the 49ers have an identity in 2021?
You know, I don't know what it is. I've been looking for it. Now, you know, are we more of a running team, or are we a throwing team? You know, back in my day, and that was a long time ago.
Oh, stop.
You know, Bill Walsh was one of those guys that felt like we had to establish the run. And once he established the run, then we threw the ball. That opened up the passing game. So you got to pick one or the other. Either you're going to be a passing team that's going to open up the running game or something like that. And I just feel like they're searching right now. They really don't know exactly, you know, what they want to do, or, you know, their identity and stuff like that. But they need to figure this out real fast, because the season is not going to wait for them. Yeah, and the games are going to get much harder. And it's going to be up to those players to just – you know, find their identity and just make this work and start winning football games. And once you do that, once you start to gain some momentum and stuff like that, I think that's really opens the door for anything to be possible.
Before I let you go, the identity so far really has been Deebo Samuel. He's been the 49ers offense outside of the good play of the defense. But I got to get your take on the new 49ers star receiver in Deebo Samuel. What have you seen from him this season? He's had such a successful start to 2021.
But what I see from Deebo is that he's having fun on the football field. And, you know, he's going to make those difficult catches over the middle. And he's going to look for contact. You know, he's just like George Kittle. He tries to run over people. But I think he shows, too, that he has that big play ability. And if you get him the ball, you know, he's going to put points on the board. So he's having fun right now. So if that's the identity, let's go to Deebo Samuel just a little bit more. Let's get him going, you know, early during the football game. Then I feel like that's going to open up the door for other opportunities.
And one final question, just with the adjustment from the receiver side, having to go between quarterbacks, what we were talking about a few minutes ago with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, how do you make that adjustment as a wide receiver when you've got such differing styles in these quarterbacks coming in and out?
But I think it happens during practice. I mean, during the week, because you get the opportunity to work with this guy all week long. And you guys become familiar with each other. It's almost like, you know, you could read his body language. So if that's the case, and whoever's behind center, you get with that individual, you talk about different scenarios, and you work on the extra things, you know, after practice. Yeah, and getting on the same mindset. If you do that, then it's going to open up, you know, bigger opportunities, you know, during a football game.
Jerry Rice, the GOAT. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Well, that does it. After listening to Tony Dungy, after hearing Jerry Rice's words of wisdom, I have never been more ready for a football game than I am right now, Laura.
Matt, I feel like we need to let Tony Dungy and Jerry Rice let their wisdom serve as the end of our podcast.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.